Okay, listeners, today we are shivering our timbers and donning our fur line. Well, we'll get to the fashion choices later. We are breaking down Chapter 22 of Dungeons & Drams Cold Open.
And a cold open it is, quite literally. We start off in Luskin, snow on the ground, and Sandy's crew is waking up at the Lusty Mermaid. But the party isn't exactly here to build snowmen.
No, they are definitely not. They head back to the Sea Maidens' Fair to meet up with the big guns. And by big guns, I mean Gromph, Bonaire, and Caddy Bree.
Absolute legends. And the vibe is immediately tense. You've got Gromph meditating, Caddy Bree pacing, and poor Schemo bound in the middle. The interrogation isn't going well because Schemo, who, let's remember, is a traitorous gnome, is claiming to be cooperative, but the math isn't adding up.
Exactly. His verbal accounts are incomplete, so Gromph decides to pull a move he learned from the Mind Flayers in the Underdark. He wants to use psionics to literally deep dive into Schemo's brain.
I love the setup here. They need absolute silence and concentration. But they have Gabbage, who is actively suffering from vampirism, kind of twitching in the corner. So, in true adventurer fashion, they just leave him in the waiting room with a model ship and bar the door with an immovable rod.
Look, problem solving comes in many forms. Sometimes it's a fireball, sometimes it's locking your vampire friend in the hallway so the grown-ups can read minds.
It's practically responsible parenting. But let's talk about this mind heist, because this sequence is fascinating. Gromph connects everyone's minds to Schemo's memories, and it gets trippy fast.
It really explores the theme of identity and memory here. Tuki and Doug are dragged into this, and their own insecurities start bleeding into the spell. We see Doug's self-loathing about his aristocratic future, and Tuki's fear of being small and helpless. It actually breaks the concentration the first time.
Right. The spell wavers because their emotional baggage is too heavy. But Gromph, Aang, the stern archmage he is, essentially tells them to get it together. And they dive back in. And this is where we get the lore dump of the century.
The Doom Raiders flashback. We see a younger Schemo adventuring with Davil Starsong, Istrid, and the gang. They think they found treasure, but instead, they found a laboratory.
And in that lab, a sarcophagus. Tajlan cracks it open, and out pops a long-dead body with a fancy staff and a gold-clawed gauntlet. Just as she touches the staff, boom, the Dark Lord rises.
It's Manshoon! We're piecing together that Manshoon was the figure in the casket, and more importantly, we see Schemo kneeling before him. But here's the kicker, the memory seems modified. There's static, glitches.
Which implies Schemo isn't just lying. He might have been magically reprogrammed. But they do catch keywords. Aethryn, Mythalar, Divinity. They see a map of Netheril enclaves near Icewind Dale. Manshoon is hunting for an ancient floating city's power source.
The stakes have just escalated from local politics to ancient world-altering magic. But just as they're getting the good intel, reality comes knocking. Literally.
The pounding on the door, the one they barred with the immovable rod. Yarlaxle bursts in, basically screaming, "Did you not hear the banging?"
And this brings us to the Gabbage situation. We've been focusing on the mental realm, but physical horror struck while they were distracted. Gabbage is dead on the floor, no pulse.
Delnus tries resurrection. It fails. Then he tries healing magic, and suddenly Gabbage gasps back to life. But it's wrong, right? There are burns on his skin. And when Gabbage goes to kiss Delnus in thanks?
Delnus sees fangs. The dramatic irony is thick here. The characters are hopeful, maybe a bit in denial, but Caddy Bree is skeptical. You don't just cure wounds away vampirism. That tiefling isn't alive, he's undead and effectively undercover.
So creepy, but there's no time to dwell on the fact that their friend is a monster because Gromph drops the geopolitical bad news. Icewind Dale has gone dark. The endless winter has cut off trade, travel, and magical communication. Four mages went north and vanished. It could be an angry goddess, a cursed princess, or the Mythalar itself controlling the weather. Either way, the party has a new quest. Get to Aethryn before Manshoon does.
And since you can't walk there, Caddy Bree proposes a very dangerous blind teleport to Kelvin's Cairn. This is the only way in. They gear up, winter clothes, torches, bedrolls.
Well, most of them gear up. I have to pause and highlight this detail. Doug accepts the winter gear, but keeps his jean shorts, fur-lined jean shorts.
Fashion over function, even in sub-zero temperatures. You have to respect the commitment to the brand, even as his knees are freezing the second they teleport.
So, they take the plunge. The portal opens to the night sky of Icewind Dale, aurora borealis shimmering overhead, the 10 towns flickering in the distance. It's a beautiful description, actually.
Beautiful and deadly. They are stranded for at least a 10-day, and they immediately stumble onto a horror scene near an ice cave, a frozen tiefling, a headless dwarf, and monstrous tracks.
Talk about out of the frying pan and into the freezer. They set up camp right next to the corpses, Tuki loots a spellbook, and they settle in.
It's a chilling ending to a chilling chapter. They've got a vampire in their party, a lich hunting them, and nature itself trying to kill them. I can't wait to see how those fur-lined shorts hold up in chapter 23.
We'll find out next time. Stay warm, adventurers.